at that. We have music, Allison.
Soundtrack to our lives, Luke Burbank.
In my head, Wilco is always a soundtrack to my life. It's the Bryant Park Project. Hi there, I'm Luke Burbank.
Along with Allison Stewart. A lot of news today, Luke.
Yeah, and we have this thing that's been happening in our little editorial meetings where there are these odds and ends, these little stories that maybe they don't quite deserve a full-on segment, but we want to talk about them. We don't know where they fit in the show, so we're talking about doing something that we're calling the Ramble.
And I think the name kind of speaks for itself. We ramble on.
Sing my song.
I knew you'd go for it if I set you up.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I took the bait. So one of the things that we got all excited about in the meeting this morning was – okay, now it sounds weird when I say it that way. It's not – we weren't excited that someone tried to assault the Pope. That was not what made us excited.
No, but what made us excited, I think, a little bit is Luke and I had the exact same reaction to some of the network news reports that we heard. These very staid news anchors, because I used to be one, I can say that, mm-hmm. all saying – a man tried to enter the Popemobile, and it made me wince every time I heard Popemobile.
Yeah, and they had it on the screen. I was in the hotel flipping through all the different TV channels, and every single news channel was covering it at the same moment. Because I guess, you know, you get new tape at 8 o'clock in the morning Eastern, and you're pretty excited about it if it's a guy trying to jump into the Pope's car. And everyone, not only were they saying Popemobile, but they also had it written on the screen. Popemobile, man jumps into Popemobile, man tries to get into Popemobile. And I thought, isn't that a nickname or something? Isn't that a little informal for the...
I found it a little uncomfortable every time I heard Popemobile.
What if he was, heaven forbid, you know, shot? Would they have said he died at such and such time after being shot riding in the Popemobile? I mean, it sounds like an ice cream truck.
It does. Or it sounds like the Batmobile. Robin.
Right.
Pontiff to the Popemobile. It just doesn't sound right.
So I don't. Okay, but you actually did a little digging today.
Yeah, so the whole history of the Popemobile seems to, not so coincidentally, date back to when someone tried to assassinate Pope John Paul II. Actually, the first Popemobile came around 1979 when the Pope made a trip to Ireland. So, and then in 1981, when that assassination attempt happened, they put that bulletproof cab on the back. Now, yeah. The Pope's had different vehicles that he's been driven in or that he is driven. I don't know if he's driven them, actually. But no, that he has been driven in. But
Jesus is really at the wheel.
This white pickup truck, usually a Mercedes, we found out, with this enclosure on the top. I found out that it's air conditioned.
Okay.
Does have handrails.
Yes. Important.
And when the new Pope came in, Pope Benedict XVI, Volkswagen tried to zoom in there, pardon the pun, and provide a Popemobile.
Because he's German?
German, yeah. But they decided to stick with old school German car, the Mercedes. But I think the most interesting thing I learned about the Popemobile, Luke, is I learned a new word.
Which is?
Let me make sure I say this right, portmanteau. The word Popemobile is a portmanteau. And a portmanteau is when you put two words, you smush them together like spork, like spoon and fork, or chocoholic.
I'm like a chocoholic except with alcohol. Why do you think that – why is it because it was such a unique vehicle that we'd never seen it before? Like why was it so necessary – Why didn't one person call the Popemobile and then everyone else just call it the Pope's car, the Pope's – there isn't a President-mobile. No one talks about Kennedy being shot in the JFK-mobile. Like, I don't understand why this word caught on and now has become so ubiquitous.
Well, the thing I think also is interesting is that maybe it's a sense of the Americans taking it too far, because in the British press, it's always in quotes as I looked it up. It's the, quote, Popemobile, whereas we just say it like, it's the Popemobile.
Why can't we just say his car, though?
The papal vehicle, I think, is probably more correct.
I don't know.
It's not his car. It's the Vatican's car.
Oh, right. He doesn't own anything. All right. Dan Pashford is doing some signs in the back that means this is getting boring. All right. Continuing on in the ramble.
Rambling on. Okay. So as we all come to the meeting with ideas and stories, and I get to the meeting with something that isn't really a story. It's just caught my eye. I looked on Yahoo Buzz. They have this great section where they talk about all the searches that go on every day. And the top mover searches, people have been searching over 6,000% increase since yesterday, ballet flats, as in the shoes, Luke.
Right. And if you don't live in New York or some other maybe fashion-forward town, you may not even have seen that many ballet flats. But you can't swing a dead hipster. Without seeing some lady in these – which they look kind of like – describe them, Allie. What do they look like?
Do you remember Anybody who likes old movies, Audrey Hepburn and Breakfast at
Yes.
Tiffany's, they look a little bit like the ballet shoes your mother forced you to wear, or my mother did when I went to Edward Villella's ballet school, even though I look like a wad of chewing gum. Literally, I was as tall as I was wide, stuffed into a tutu, and these my little feet
All right,
stuffed into
listen,
shoes.
this isn't therapy,
Sorry.
Allie.
Okay.
Let's just keep it moving.
Ballet slippers, over 6,000% increase on Yahoo's buzz searches.
Right,
So,
but these aren't actually ballet slippers. They're shoes.
ballet
They're
flats.
kind of something. They're sort of splitting the difference between traditional shoes and ballet
Yes.
shoes, right?
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a fashion thing. And
Right.
I went and I looked to see maybe Oprah had a favorites thing show. Sometimes that sends things people to the search engines.
Right. Like, why was suddenly a 600% increase?
Well, I found somebody who might be able to help us. Her name is Miss Megan. She is a self-proclaimed America's shoe expert, a shoe therapist, and fashion authorities on all things shoe. She has a website called missmegan.com, and she's joining us on the phone to help us understand that is the ballet flat. Miss Megan?
Hi.
Hi. So
How
why
are
are
you?
ballet flats the big thing this spring?
Well, ballet flats have really been gaining momentum over the last like 3 to 4 years. You know, we really thought about ballet flats with that sort of like chic gamine, you know, black capri pants and like a tight black sweater and cute ballet flats and like a long cigarette holder. And they've sort of been co-opted by the downtown hipster
Lower
crowd.
East Side,
The
Williamsburg
Lower East
kind of
Side, the
thing happening.
nylon magazine girls.
Yeah, because everybody's wearing, you're right, Miss Megan. Can I call you Miss Megan, or you say Miss
You can
Megan
call me
was my
Megan. You know,
mother.
my name's Megan Cleary, so
All right.
that, you know, you can call me
All right, Megan Cleary.
Megan.
I've noticed that, as you were saying, everything in right now, at least in a certain kind of fashion, is about everything being tighter. Like, it's like really like sort of tight pants, and everything is very Audrey Hepburnized. And the shoes, no one's wearing like sort of big platforms of anything. It's all about thin and low. That's
Actually, you're
Miss.
totally wrong, but
Okay.
that's okay.
You're the
Okay.
boy. You're totally
You're the
wrong.
boy, and that's okay.
All right.
It's actually a very interesting time in fashion right now because, especially in shoes, there's almost like every single trend you could possibly imagine. Like, you can't really go wrong with anything. Platform shoes are getting like higher and higher. And then, you know, yeah, at the other end of the spectrum, we're seeing the ballet flats and like the tight skinny jeans.
Miss Megan, I kind of
Yes.
like calling you Miss Megan. I hope you don't
Okay,
mind.
please go ahead.
I think it's sort of interesting. I was on this website for this one shoe company, London Sole, and women are just oozing with emotion about their ballet flats. This one woman writes, "I am praying that this flat trend is going to stick around. I'm considering making a sacrificial burnt offering of feet torturing high heels, never ever to convince the fashion deities to make this ballet flats things permanent." So how do you keep
It's
something
so
like that?
scary. Well, I think there's two things. Like I said, it's sort of been like co-opted as, you know, by the hipster crowd. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, women are just really starting to demand comfort from their shoes. And they're really sort of fed up with some sort of fashion rule that's like you have to wear, you know, 2.5, 3-inch stilettos with your work outfit or your suit
But
and
isn't that
feel.
dangerous? Isn't that dangerous? Because, I mean, the whole thing of once comfort, when we start factoring comfort in, we're all going to be wearing naturalizers or, clogs. So I think we.
Naturalizer has some cute stuff. I don't know if you've seen their stuff lately.
I'm the one who doesn't
You
know from
gotta
fashion.
check it out, honey. They've got some really cute little stilettos
Yeah.
and
I'll
stuff
get
like
right
that.
over there as soon as Matlock is over.
I
Thank you,
think you
though.
should.
One
Yeah.
practical question.
Yeah.
How much is too much to spend on a pair of flats?
I mean, if you're asking someone like me, you know, the sky's the limit. If you're feeling like you really need some Python, Ezzedine, Alaya ballet flats, and they're gonna run you 900.
What?
You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta
Wow.
do what you gotta do.
900 bucks for ballet flats?
If it's in your budget, rock on with it, I say. But
Wow.
you can get amazing shoes for $100. You can get amazing naturalizers for $39.
All
It's
right.
true.
Miss Megan, I'm gonna say thank you for being on the show, even though you insulted my fashion
I'm
sense,
sorry. I'm sorry.
which
I
is
can do
something I
some shoe
hold.
therapy with you.
Okay, please
You
do.
email me. I'll tell you everything you need to know.
All right, thank you. And Allison, what's Miss Megan's website again?
The website is missmegan.com. Miss Megan Cleary, the self-proclaimed shoe expert and shoe therapist.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right, Allison, rambling on here. The Webbies.
Yeah, you know, NPR won a bunch of Webbies.
And I have to be honest, like, Webby to me sounded like kind of like the Blockbuster Awards. Like,
stop
one of those
it.
Things. No, seriously, like, oh, great, I won a Webby. But it's actually a big deal.
It's huge, and it's very cool. Cool people show up.
The
when,
Beastie Boys, Sting. Wait, not Sting.
David, but the other thin
David
white
Bowie.
Guy.
I
old
totally
white
was thinking
British
David
guy.
Bowie, and I said Sting.
Yeah, David Bowie got a Lifetime Achievement Award. eBay got a Lifetime Achievement Award. For people who don't really know what we're talking about, it was the 11th annual Webby Awards, which basically honors the best in the web, and it's full of just kind of interesting, cool, geeky people. But the highlight of the award show is you're only allowed to use 5 words in your acceptance speech, which, as you can imagine, for a lot of people would be tough.
They should totally do that at the Oscars, by the way.
How good would that be?
It would be pretty, pretty awesome. Okay, so you have in front of you
the list of all the acceptance speeches. For example, you know, Sprout, the PBS Kids Network, their thank you speech was, "Mommy, what's a Webby?"
That's good.
That's a great one. Have you ever got monkey mail? The monkey emails? You send an email.
Really talk about on the radio.
What's this cool website where you can send somebody an email and it's a monkey that talks and says whatever you type into the search engine.
Oh, okay.
So it's good. So their acceptance speech was, "Monkeys are funny."
Okay.
Which is good. DIY Network, the do-it-yourself network, yeah. Make stuff. It said, "Now let's go get hammered." Nice pun.
That is.
There was a sad one. Can I read the one sad one?
Please.
From CNET.
That's the technology. And remember, there was the fellow who was driving his family from Oregon down to California and had the problem, right?
And their thank you speech was, "This is for James Kim."
Wow, that's sort of sobering.
Which is sobering and really lovely. NPR, very earnest, as expected. For best podcasts, Public Radio says thank you.
I mean, you know, the irony is that that sound I just made is going to be podcasted by the people at NPR who make the podcasts. So I'm dissing the hand that podcasts us.
Oh, well, we can go on and diss the New York Times.
Okay, let's move on to
they
our
said,
dissing, please.
Honor, grateful, thank you. Corny.
Did you add corny?
No, they added corny.
No way.
Yeah, they did.
Well, that's kind of good, I guess.
So at least they knew at the end.
The New York Times, really? I thought they would have been a little bit more businesslike about it. But anyway.
Nick.com is have sex, make more kids.
As in Nickelodeon?
Yes.
Nickelodeon.com?
They know that they need an audience. So yeah, it's actually really kind of fun. If you go to the Webby's website, you can read all these acceptance speeches. They're really fun.
And for anyone like me who thought that the Webbies was just this sort of, you know, not such a big deal, go to the website. You will be very surprised at just what a big deal it is. And so congratulations, by the way, to everybody and NPR podcasters, please. I'm sorry, NPR podcast people. Your acceptance speech was totally awesome. All right. This has been the Bryant Park Project. Thanks for rambling with us. All right. I'm Luke Burbank.
I'm Allison Stewart. We'll be quiet now.